welcome once again to the Bagger Mountain Radio Hour. We're coming to you tonight from the Powerhouse Arts Center in Oxford, Mississippi.
When you're feeling way down low, got no place to go, can't call a lover, can't call a friend, you find a soul.
Thank you. Welcome to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. As I mentioned, we're at the Powerhouse Arts Center, a mere stone's throw from the exciting historic Oxford Square, ladies and gentlemen. Fine show for y'all tonight. One of our favorite songwriters is back. Claire Holly is here. Claire Holly. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. We've also got Bear Ryan. She plays homemade cigar box guitars left-handed. Yeah, man, I'm going to get up in there. Yeah, boy. Maybe even chews gum and has a TikTok while she's at it. Who knows? And also, Jeff Berry is here. Jeff Berry has written a very cheerfully titled novel that we will discuss later. It's called Go to Hell, Ole Miss. And we're going to get him out here, and he's got some splaining to do, ladies and gentlemen. But before we do that, how about this cool band? Let's bring them to the stage, y'all. The Yellow Bushwhackers.
Here's one for the first day of spring.
Once I was a sentimental thing, threw away my heart each spring. Now a spring romance hasn't got a chance. Promise my first dance to winter. All I've got to show is a splinter for my little flame. Spring this year has got me feeling like a horse that's never left the post. I lie in my room, staring up at the ceiling. Spring can really hang you up the most. Budding's kiss wakes trees and drink a toast. A walk in the park just to kill the lonely hours. Spring can really hang you up the most. All winter long, those birds they twitter twit. Just a bore. Love seems sure around the new year. Now it's April. Love is just a ghost. Spring arrived on time, but what became of you, dear? Spring can really hang you up the most, the most, the most. The moon. doctors once prescribed a tonic suffering. Molasses was a dose, but it just didn't help a bit. My condition is chronic. Spring can really hang you up the most. All alone, the party's over. Old man Winter was a gracious host, but when you keep praying for snow to hide the clover, spring can really hang you up the most.
Thank you. Happy spring.
Yeah, the Bushwhackers, y'all. Let them hear you. Our house band. We love them. Jeff Coburn helping us out on the drums today. That's Slade Lewis on the bass, Keon Love on the keyboards, Paul Tate up front, our arranger and band leader on vocals, and our special guest tonight, Mark Iacovone on that beautiful accordion, the Yellow Bushwhackers. He'll be back later in our show. Claire Holly, welcome back.
Thank you.
If I'm not mistaken, and I usually am, I think it was 2019 maybe was the last time you were here, so... You are due back. So good to have you back.
Thank you.
Did I see you're working on some sort of one-woman show, perhaps?
Yes.
Well, you'll tell us about that when you're good and ready.
That's right. Maybe in about 3 minutes after this first song.
She delivers, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all please welcome Claire Holly.
Storms and the blowing pine. Thank you so much. You know what David Byrne says in his memoir, How Music Works? An audience wants to see a performer walk across the tightrope and cheer them on, cheer the artist on as she goes. So we're about to walk across the tightrope. We've never played this song together, but y'all are going to be with us, aren't you? I've played this song before. Actually, I might have played it with Slade and Mark before, but not with this drummer named Jeff. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, and Paul, but we have played together. So I am developing a one-woman show. Wish me luck. I thought it was about piano, but I think it's really more about my mom. And this song sort of is a scene of when I went back to Mississippi in 2011, November. My dad had cancer. My mom was taking care of him. She would soon be diagnosed with cancer, and so they were getting weaker. And this is called 4124. Camellia's in the kitchen. Their little machine is blinking. Calls are coming in, seeing how everyone is. A bulletin saved from church, a note with a Bible verse, a cooler by the door at 4124. Slippers, she's looking in the freezer for something that she saved to heat in the microwave. We'll watch the Braves play, eat our dinner on trays, linger a little more at 4124. That's a first for me, playing a song on Thacker Mountain with piano. I'm going to close with one that is on my record of hymns, which I have here tonight. I have like 12 albums, but you're only going to see like one of them represented because it's kind of hard to bring CDs in a suitcase when you have a bunch of clothes and a pedal board that doesn't work. Anyway, it's been great to be here. We're going to go out with a song called The Lord's Highway. It was originally called The King's Highway, and I kind of changed just a few lyrics. It's like an old, old song that I put new melody to. So much. Sign my mailing list. Thank you. Thanks to the Yellows.
Claire Holly, y'all. Let her hear you. Let her hear you. Claire Holly. And the Yellow Bushwhackers. How about these guys? Thank you so much, Claire. That sounded great. Thank you, Claire Holly. We look forward to all of her music and the music that she'll visit with us out front with as well. Thank you so much. I want to remind you that you're listening to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. You're hearing us on WUMS, University of Mississippi. Also WYXR, Community Radio in Memphis, Tennessee. The stations of Mississippi Public Broadcasting. The stations of Alabama Public Radio. WUTC, Community Radio in Chattanooga, Tennessee. WUOT, Community Radio in Knoxville, Tennessee. And KNCE, True Taos Radio in Taos, New Mexico. Also, we'd like to thank our Thacker backers, Carol Etheridge Family Foundation, Dr. Stephen and Gay Case, the good folks at Delta Magazine, Larry and Michael Johnson Family Foundation, the Mississippi Arts Commission, the Mississippi Hills Heritage Alliance, Pearly Peacock Designs, R&B Fader Foundation, the good folks at Square Books, y'all, Square Books, yes. Couldn't do it without them. Visit Oxford, Volunteer, Mississippi, the good folks at Wonderbird Spirits. We had a beautiful visit out there last week. Yeah, our new pals. Yonder Potapa Arts Council and the good folks at Snooki and Mary Lou Williams Foundation, Water Valley, Mississippi. We would also like to thank our Green Room sponsors who are keeping the troops fed and watered back here, Funky's Red Panther Brewing and Cathead Distillery. Thank you, thank you. As Lucy mentioned earlier, you too can be a Thacker backer now more than ever. More info at thackermountain.org. Keon Love, y'all. Thank you, Keon. All right, Jeff Barry had the experience maybe few writers do in that he really cared about this first novel that he was writing. He works, has a job on the side, but wrote, as he mentioned, was telling me, in the spring and the fall, mostly outdoors, sometimes when he was on a boar hunt. We'll talk about that maybe. 8 years he works on this novel, takes it through all the editors, all the work, all the revisions, and it comes out and it lands on the USA Today top 20 bestseller list. That's a nice phone call to get, right? Yeah. So your work paid off. The novel is called Go to Hell, Ole Miss. Sorry, Mom. And it has nothing to do with football or the University of Mississippi. It is a family drama that will keep you turning pages, and you will love the characters. And it's set in 1970s Holly Springs, Mississippi. Y'all please welcome Jeff Barry. Thank you. All right. Thank you. I assume now that we all don't hate you right off the bat. And by the way, with that title, you killed it in Starkville, right?
That's been a pretty good market, pretty good target audience.
And you're very savvy. You didn't tell them that it's not an anti-Ole Miss book. You let them go ahead and buy 5 copies apiece, right? Take it home.
It's funny you say that. In one of the book signings in Tupelo, a guy came in and he said, I don't go to bookstores, I don't go to libraries, I don't read books, but I want 5 of them. He goes, I'm going to send all my Ole Miss buddies. And he bought 5, and then we went out. He goes, I've even got Go to Hell, Ole Miss on my license plate, back tag, you know, it's GTHOM. And we went out and got pictures of, you know, leaning down by the license tag. That actually did happen.
Sounds like a real literature connoisseur, Jeff.
That's right.
Well, we read books around here, my friend, and you've, right. Well, you've written a great one, I will say, and despite its title, and we will get to that title in a moment. It's actually, as you might imagine, a great story behind it. But I want to get into these wonderful characters, particularly Big John, who is kind of our hero of this story, who is a former Marine, who is a POW in World War II, and his daughter gets into a really bad fix with a bad guy. And you would think Big John is going to go avenge his daughter's pain that she's been put through, like a Rambo type. But he's a pussycat. He writes poetry. He's got a woodpecker in the backyard. He's named. Tell us about Big John. He was a really and very original character.
Yeah, well, thank you. So I guess it started a little bit with my dad, who had me. My mom and dad had me very late in life. My dad was a POW. He was a B-24 pilot, World War II. And he was shot down over Germany, and he was a POW for 13 months. And so I grew up, you know, my mom and dad had, and my mom at the time was a, and this will come into the story, but she was a Ole Miss co-ed living on the Ole Miss campus. And she's from New Albany, right down the road a little bit. And so anyway, I grew up around, you know, my other 4 siblings were much older, and so I got to grow up kind of as an only child around my dad and his war buddies, and just some great Southern storytellers, and they had a lot of stories to tell. And so a lot of my dad's war history and growing up in the Great Depression is incorporated into the main character, Big John, as well as my dad was kind of a Southern gentleman. He got a little meddlesome in his daughter's courtships, like kind of happens in this book, like some of the Southern dads might do, and that ended up backfiring. And so anyway, without giving it away, and my dad loved land, and he had a little small cattle farm right on the Mississippi line where I actually lived for a couple of years. And I basically picked up that farm and moved it to the outskirts of Holly Springs, which I call Hope Springs in the book for some kind of thematic purposes. But a lot of the personality and different events, a lot of them are different. But a lot of my dad's war history, including where the title came from, were pretty much verbatim.
Wow. Yep. There's so many great ones. Tell us about Cookie. Cookie is a black character who... very strong-willed, likes to get up and have coffee and scripture before the sun gets up. Tell us about Cookie.
Yeah, and so I grew up just around a lot of rural white and black folks. I've also worked in the land business most of my career, so I was in you know, the Delta a bunch and the Hill Country as well. And so I've just had some really rich relationships, you know, with, you know, the different races. And she came to me. She's kind of an Old Testament prophetess, I guess, you know. And I don't know, the plot is something I had to keep working on. And it was my first novel. I had no idea, frankly, how to craft a novel and structure it. So I really had to work on that over time. But the characters just kind of came to me more easily, as well as the themes and the voice. And Miss Cookie is she's one of the, most of the people, when I ask them who's their favorite character, they say Miss Cookie or Big John, one of those two.
Yeah.
And she and I think Big John are kind of interesting, almost a foil character there. You know, she's more hard line, and Big John's more of a, you know, gentle giant. And even though he was this war veteran, and my dad was kind of like that. He was gentle, stoic kind of man. Mr. Big John is not stoic at all, but she really ends up, and she's the best friend of the main character, Big John's wife, Shine.
Right.
And so
whose name's Shine.
Shine, yep.
You
yep.
gotta have a cool name to be in this book, ladies and gentlemen. Shine and Cookie. Then there's Slide.
Slide.
The young boy. Tell us about him.
Yeah, so one of the folks who endorsed the book, she actually, Sue Watson, she is a reporter for the Holly Springs paper, I guess Lafayette County. Newspaper, and I got to know her early on because I did some of my writing. If I wasn't writing out in the woods, I'd be writing outside around. One time I was writing around the town square of Holly Springs, and I had a little stand-up table. I kind of had an unorthodox process, but I had somebody from the town square come out and get all over me because they thought I was hacking into their system at the town square. And I was like, well, I don't think I'd have to be standing right next to you to be doing that, but I have no idea how to hack. I mean, I have enough trouble with emails technology to go with, but anyway.
Yeah.
So
obviously there's a story like this. There has to be a preacher. There's Preacher Sam.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He plays a pretty important part. I love one of the lines that Preacher Sam compares being a wife to plowing hard ground with a drunk mule.
Yep.
It's good stuff, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to say if I've been, my wife said that to me or not, but no,
yeah. Now, you, of course, we've got Pearl, the daughter in question, Big John's daughter, who has done more than wrong by the notorious Miles and his good-for-nothing friend, brother, Shad.
Yeah.
In fact, they hurt her really bad. And Shad, also another great line, Shad always looked like a bowel movement was about to get the best of him.
Oh.
I wouldn't like this book if it was just a book, you know, but that title that he stuck on there, it's good stuff in here. So these guys are bad news, but you've got two daughters yourself, and you mentioned to me you were in Holly Springs, and you had almost an epiphany. Yep. What's the worst thing you could think of? And it would be if somebody hurt your daughter. And on top of that, if that somebody was somebody you had pushed her to go out with. Mm-hmm. And so you had sort of an epiphany. Mm-hmm. And then you said one of your daughters found you in the closet acting the story out. You were talking to your characters.
Yeah, I got a little obsessive in writing this book, admittedly.
Yeah, you did.
And she was about 12, 13 at the time. I don't know how much counseling she'll need from episodes like this, but sometimes I'd be in the club, but that was how I could write. I did a lot of it. I did some of my editing with audio. I'd record it and go back because I grew up with, like I said, the audio, the storytelling, and I wanted my book to have that to it. So, I mean, I got to where the characters, some of them are, you know, combinations of people I've known plus other just made up. And then, you know, I just felt like I got to know these characters really well. And I'd be talking about lines sometimes before I wrote them. And I think that time I was talking to Cookie and she came in and she was like, "Dad, quit doing that. These aren't real people." And And I was like, well, they kind of are, baby. But anyway.
I don't know about that. Well, we do want to hear a little bit from it. And I believe the part you're going to read maybe explains the title a little bit. Y'all, this is a really fine book, title aside. And I applaud you for coming to Oxford, Mississippi, and having this book with that title. And it's good, and lucky for you, it's a good book, my friend.
No, well, thank
y'all,
you.
Y'all, please welcome again Jeff Berry.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So I'm going to read a section here that does explain the title. Like I said before, a lot of my dad, when he was in his 70s, I sat down with my dad and my mom and recorded, interviewed him and recorded a lot of things. I wanted to make sure and have his stories and their stories, you know, pretty down. And a lot of this scene actually comes almost verbatim from that. And my dad, I incorporate a lot of my dad's war history. It's kind of a historical slash literary fiction novel. And so in this scene, this is a true story. At the time, like I said a minute ago, my mom, my future mom, this was in 1944. She was a co-ed, living in a sorority house on campus here. And my dad ends up in a German shed his first night of captivity when he was shot down over Germany. And he was the B-24 pilot. It's kind of a shed. I don't know if you can see, but it's kind of a shed, something like this. And he's all alone and just all worried about his crew and all of that. And so this is the narrator in this is Slide, who he mentioned, who is the main character's, the main character's nephew. So it's Slide and Big John here on their farm. So I will go ahead and read how this came to be. Big John was smiling at what passed for a shed when I caught up. Slide, isn't she pretty? He asked. Pretty. The crooked roof's barely hanging onto the barn. Big John fixed his hands on his hips. Another coat of red paint would do wonders for this darling. Would it help the walls I can see through? I asked. Oh, those cypress boards will be here long after I'm gone. Maybe you too, Slide. What does this have to do with your first night in Germany? Loneliest night of my life, he said. Well, didn't everybody jump out together? No, I knew my plane could blow any second after two of her four engines caught fire. I ordered the crew to bail out while I did my best to hold her steady. You ended up in a burning plane all by yourself? Big John, you were already my hero, but just doing my job, Slide. Well, how far did you make it after they bailed out? Not far. Three German fighters were closing in for the kill when I found myself over a dark blue lake that looked like it belonged in some other world. All of a sudden, they pulled up and flew away. I never saw them again. Had no idea why they'd backed off until I made it to the prison camp and found myself in a serious interrogation with the American boys. Americans? I asked. Yeah, the Germans planted spies in our camp, and your time was on this earth was up if our boys figured you for a spy. They'd kill you? Ways of war, Slide. Of course, they were able to sniff out a skunk in no time, so our visit went smooth enough. Toward the end, I was telling them about the lake when this colonel piped in. Son, that lake saved your life. It's where the Germans are making heavy water for their nuclear program, most heavily defended facility on the planet. You must have been flying so low they were late picking you up and couldn't risk you going down and tearing up the place. Lieutenant, you got to be the luckiest man in the war. What a miracle, I said. But not the first, Big John said. Well, what happened after the lake? Those Germans didn't need their bullets anyhow, Slide. I was closing fast on 2,000 feet, knew my chances of the plane holding steady long enough to unhitch my gear, scramble out of the cockpit, and bail out were next to nothing. Somehow I made it. Bet you couldn't wait to get out. Yeah, but then my parachute wouldn't open. Kept yanking on the cord, but she wouldn't budge. Big John took a few steps, kicking at clods of dirt. And then the strangest thing happened. I heard a voice saying, "Don't worry, young man, I've got plans for you." I know it sounds hokey, but my parachute opened right up. Wasn't long before I hit the ground with a thump that knocked off my boots. Buried my chute and ran for a patch of woods, but didn't get far. Germans had seen the whole ordeal and come my way. They hollered and sent a few bullets over my head for good measure. Big John turned. Slide, they locked me in a shed like this one, but a heap sturdier. It was a night I'll never forget. Feeling guilty for losing my plane, worried sick over the other 9 boys in the crew. Cold and missing my wife, I hunkered down and leaned against the wall. At daybreak, my chin was dragging so low, I had to work these eyeballs to their limits to see my feet. I didn't care to see any further, couldn't bear to. Big John stared at one shed while surely thinking of another. Sun went to rising and sending beams of light through cracks in the wall I was propped against. Felt the sun warming my back, watched it light up my boots and inch its way up the far wall. And there it was, go to hell, Ole Miss. True, true story. I walked to the fence, shaking my head. For years, I'd been waiting on more than a bedtime tale filled with the skinny mice and cardboard for bread Big John had eaten in prison camp. And now I'd heard the story. I circled back to the shed. What a story, I said, wishing I had more to say. She's my best, Big John said. Sure lightened my load knowing a fella from back home had walked my path and had the gumption to slip a knife past those Germans and give our Ole Miss buddies a piece of his mind. A state fan, I said. Yeah, real flesh and blood Mississippi State Bulldog. Yes, sir, the good Lord was taking care of me, tossing a pebble of hope my way. And that's it. We're out of time. Thank y'all. Thank y'all.
Jeff Berry, y'all. One more time for him. Jeff Berry. Again, the novel is called Go to Hell, Ole Miss. Greenleaf Book Group Press. Also, one of the blurbs, one of the author on the back of the book, one of the authors who blurbed the book and gave it his recommendation was none other than Jamie Cornegy, who was one of the first original producers of this show. Yes, absolutely. And then went on to write his own novel called Soil. And Jeff spilled the beans that Jamie is working on a new novel. So we are really can look forward to that. I really appreciate it. Jeff is going to join us after the show at the Square Books table and sign your copy of Go to Hell, Ole Miss, which I'm sure you never thought you'd be buying a book with that title. But it is a great read with some wonderful characters. We just scratched the surface of what's going on in this book. And again, Holly Springs, Mississippi, he calls it Hope Springs in the book. So really fine read. We appreciate him. All right, Bear Ryan. Bear Ryan is one of those stories of had a life, was carrying on with her life, doing her thing, being a person, and did not play professionally until you were 35 years old. Is that correct?
Yes.
Man. And when you did decide to bust out, you're playing a cigar box guitar. Well, it's a unique sound. I'm so proud of you for late in, sort of relatively late in life deciding to pursue music. And I would say you're doing a great job on to be at it in just a short period of time. Man, y'all please welcome Bear Ryan.
Thank you so much. We're so happy to be here. All right, I'm going to do a song called The Snake Handler's Daughter. I'm going to take you down into the swamps for a minute and be a little bit departure from the earlier part of the set because this one's about the world's oldest profession. Thank you. way. Brother's undertaker, sister, she begs cakes. But oh no, not me, oh no, not me. I get paid for the way I shake. I get paid for the way I shake. I get paid for the way I shake, way I shake, way I shake. The snake handler's daughter, I'm faster on the water. Thank you so much. So since I'm playing these funny cigar box guitars, they are all tuned to unique key, which is why I'm gonna switch them out. The first song I wrote since moving to Mississippi, we came here from Texas, south of Austin, and I read a book called Rising Tide, and this song is a fictional character that that I made up from that book. I'm pretty sure a lot of y'all are familiar with the subject matter, but this is called Mississippi Mornings. Wash machines on the pole. Taxman called, said he wants some more. Baby, drive me crazy, don't slam the screen door. Baby, drive me crazy, don't slam the screen door. Mississippi mornings come without mama on repeat, saying diamonds are made from pressure and heat. Reckon that's how my God made me. At least that's how it felt down in the buckle of the Bible Belt. Down in the buckle of the Bible. Blinds punch you in the eye, man, you should have seen the other guy. Mississippi mornings come without warning. Mud in the bugs, cotton in the blood. If I dynamite the levee, then the town won't flood. If I dynamite the levee, then our house won't flood. Got a chicken drunk dog. I got the staggers and jazz. I got nothing to lose but a monkey on my back. Monkey on my back. Mississippi mornings come without warning.
slip through the blinds, punch you in the eye. Man, you should have seen the other guy. Mississippi mornings come without warning. These the cards I dealt down in the buckle of the Bible Belt. Nothing to lose. Got the staggers and jacks. Throwing cayenne pepper on hound dog tracks. I'm leaving in the evening and I ain't coming back. Leaving in the evening and I ain't coming back.
Thank y'all so much. We're just so thrilled to be here on the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. We drove over from Clarksdale, Mississippi, and I'm just so stoked to be performing for y'all and representing Clarksdale for a minute. All right, this is a song. It's called Dead Dog Pandemic Inflation Blues. rather obtuse title, but I figure if you can't relate to at least one of those things, you've been on another planet or something. So I'm gonna keep performing it while it's timely. There's a generation coming up that won't know what I'm talking about, but here we go.
job. Bear Ryan, y'all. One more time for her. Bear Ryan. Cigar Box Magic. Thank y'all so much. Thank y'all for being here, and I'd like to thank our guests one more time, if you don't mind. Claire Holly, the great songwriter. Claire Holly, thank you for being here, Claire. Jeff Barry. Jeff Barry, fine novel, Go to Hell, Ole Miss. And one more time for Bear Ryan. And those.
Let's not forget you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, we'll be right back here at the Powerhouse next week, same time. We welcome y'all to please come. We're winding down the season. I think three or four more shows left. Next week, we've got Via Blendner is here. She sold her novel, or rather her book of essays, to Netflix and then enrolled in writing school. So, and her novel is called Go to Hell, LSU, oddly enough, is strangely enough. So we'll see y'all right back here next week. We love y'all. Thanks for being here. We're going to get one more from this great band and from Miss Claire Holly, and we'll see y'all on the radio. Mountain Radio Hour's executive director is Lucy Gaines. Our production director is Tim Lee. Our broadcast and post-production engineer is Jeffrey Reed. Our front-of-house engineer is Blake Gardner.
Here comes the sun.